This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Sophia Merchant tells us how Battle Creek school district officials are planning to address declining enrollment and financial challenges. But first, Western Michigan University President John Dunn told the campus community last month that Western had failed to provide adequate information and updates during and after a string of shootings in Kalamazoo on February 20th. Dunn promised in a message to Western students and staff that campus alert measures will be improved. Western Michigan University President John Dunn, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Gordon. It's nice to be with you and your many listeners.
So what have you heard since this meeting in February? There was a kind of a campus town hall event. What have you heard from students, faculty, staff about what they would want to see done with the campus alert system?
Well, we had very good turnout for a university forum the following Monday after this very unfortunate, horrific event here in Kalamazoo. And I thought the students and the feedback was very helpful. And it ranged all the way from, you know, how did this happen, which all of us wonder and feel very bad about the event itself. But, and then, if not an alert system, could we have enhanced the communication system? And that was the part that I said, you know, I concur that I think we could have done better in communication. The challenge in all this, and I thought Scott Merlow, who is the head of our public safety here on campus, I think the challenge was really what do you communicate other than the fact that we now believe after the Seeley incident on Stadium Drive that there's a connection between the first event some 4.5 or 5 hours earlier and this event. And but other than that, there wasn't much. And we knew that then at that time that the individual shortly thereafter ended up at, sadly, at Cracker Barrel. So there's also a question about what it is that you communicate. And so we have, as an action-oriented item, have now created a safety and communication committee. I'm very pleased that Tom Edmonds, who is a professor, faculty member in our Hayworth College of Business.
Former Kalamazoo County Sheriff.
Yeah, 5 times elected here, 28 years law enforcement, a Bronco by first degree, and took a law degree from Wayne State University. Tom also served in the military and retired Reserves Brigadier General. So he's very well equipped to lead a committee. The committee has already met. It's a very nice committee of faculty, staff, and certainly students involved in it, both those that live on campus, off campus. We also have international students. So I met with them, gave them their charge, and they're off and running, and they're meeting every Friday to try and sort of what can we do to enhance communication? When is the alert system the proper thing to do? And to really challenge ourselves, you know, can you have an alert system that's sort of vertical depending upon what the alert is? Or could you have one that is segmented in some ways, that if you're in this quadrant of where our students live versus the other quadrant, that kind of thing. So those are all really complex issues and questions. But, you know, this is a great university. It's a great community. And also the coordination, I think, between the sheriff, KDPS, our own public safety, and the state police to the extent that they're involved as well.
I want to note, in the interest of full disclosure, that WMUK has some involvement in one of the subcommittees working on this communication issue. One question I guess I have, you mentioned that, you know, the connection between the shooting on Stadium Drive and then the first one
in Richland
in the apartment complex. But would there even be just some value in knowing, hey, there was a shooting on Stadium Drive and the person has not been caught? I mean, is there just some value in knowing that, for instance, because Stadium Drive is pretty close to campus?
Stadium Drive would be a little over 2 miles from the university campus, and therefore it would not normally rise to the occasion of an alert system for the university. Now, having said that, communication at that point, but remember within a very short period of time thereafter, when everyone's trying to collect the information and finally concluding, well, maybe there's a relationship here. That's the sheriff's office communicating now with our folks that maybe there's a relationship. Then within an extremely short period of time, we have the shooting at Cracker Barrel, which is some distance again.
Right.
So, you know, the speculation at that point is the person headed west to Chicago, you know. Lots of thoughts going through minds. And it's easy to quarterback this at the end of the game and the tragic event and try to figure it out. But we're not going down that path. We're not into excuses and all those kinds of things. But just simply to acknowledge that, yeah, I think in answer to your question, could we, is there a way to have done better to keep the community informed? I think the city is going through the same thing with the sheriff's office. Should we sheltered in place at that point, which we did not, okay, as a community? So, you know, we need to be harsh and hard on ourselves, and we need to accept that responsibility, and then we need to fix it and go after it and try to do it better.
One thing that you and some other people have said is that you want to be careful about giving these alerts out so often that people sort of start to ignore them. And I understand where you're coming from. The dorm I lived in as a freshman and sophomore, the fire alarm for some reason was something that got pulled all the time. It was this wonderful prank. And after a while, people didn't believe there was a fire until there actually was a fire. At the same time, do you have to look at erring on the side of telling people information and letting them perhaps decide whether or not that means they should stay in their apartment or what have you?
Right. I think even I think that's well said. And I think even trying to then figure out what it is it that we should tell people, given the information we have, I suspect that's really what the city was also dealing with, was should we shelter in place? You know, you would think that's logical, but there may have been reasons why that was not as logical given the information they had at that time. So, yeah, we do worry about that. We worry about if you think about Sealy and you think or Stadium Drive and you think, okay, we need to expand this now to all the quadrants where our students live. Okay.
That gets pretty big because there's a lot of students
big.
Off campus.
So we have a gas leak, okay, in this quadrant of the city. Does the whole student population need to know that it's in that quadrant? Or do we wear people out to the point they say, take me off the list, I just don't want to be notified anymore?
Western Michigan University has launched a survey for students about the climate around sexual violence on campus. We've talked to you before about Western's efforts here, but specifically through this survey, what are you hoping that you might be able to learn?
Well, you know, you used the expression sexual violence, but also we're very interested also in things that relate to sexual harassment, stalking, putting people in uncomfortable positions that they shouldn't be, whether it's a faculty or student or, for that matter, an administrator. So, you know, we're trying to send a message to the university community that our goal really is zero tolerance. Now, that's a high, high bar. We're dealing with humans, right? And sometimes we deal with people who are not as thoughtful, thoughtless. And then we are dealing with people also who are very intentional in the act and what it is that they're doing. So our goal here is to make sure that we increase awareness, that we let the community at large know that we want people to report things. We want to let them know that we take matters of report serious and that we need to address them and to help victims and also do everything we can to mitigate anything that's untoward to another human being. So we're serious about it. We have 50 of us, various universities that are engaged in using this particular instrument and survey. So I hope, and I think one of the outcomes of this would be that there might be an increase in reporting of things that need to be reported that have not been reported in the past. And we'll learn from that and become a much stronger, better university. And this is obviously for women, but also for men. And we have these kinds of things that are happening proportionally much higher to women. But there are also some impact on men here that we also find unacceptable.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Western Michigan University President John Dunn. We are speaking on Thursday. On Wednesday, the Board of Trustees approved a new strategic plan for the next 5 years. So let's put it this way. What's next for the university?
Well, first of all, I was very pleased with the action taken by the Board of Trustees. I'm very proud of the university community. Jody Berlinski headed that effort for us. Massive number of meetings and buy-in, interactions with people, allowing others, faculty, staff, students, and others to respond to see the plan to weigh in on additional ideas and thoughts, et cetera. And as good as we are as a university, and I think we're a very, very fine university, we've operated really since 1903 without ever having officially a strategic plan for the university as a whole. Now, we've had master plans as it relates to facilities and those, but not a strategic plan that encompassed the university as a whole. So one of the things we wanted to do is to have a plan that's actionable. I've been on university campuses and have participated as a member of a strategic planning committee. And when we were all done, it was a massive volume. And, you know, it looked good and it went on a shelf somewhere. But I don't think we spent a lot of time with it after that. So this plan is smaller in the sense that you can actually read it and look at it. And in addition to that, it has measures that we believe we should be held accountable for in terms of whether we are or we are not making progress, or we had something we thought was important, but we really haven't assessed this. I think one of the criticisms of any plan, including ours, is it a little bit too broad yet? Is it focused enough? We think there's going to be some additional focus coming out of this as we get into our implementation and the actions associated with the plan. So, you know, these kinds of things should be always works in progress. It's never totally set in foundation and concrete to the point that we can't move or be flexible, agile as we need to respond to the needs of larger society.
It's interesting that Western, as you say, has reached this point without ever really having a full-blown strategic plan. So I guess maybe to step back here a few years, would something like that have been helpful when you were going through the process of figuring out how we were going to get a medical school open at Western Michigan University? Would there have been some benefit to having maybe that vision laid out somewhere of this is what we want to do and here's how we want to do it?
Yeah, I think it would have been helpful maybe from the standpoint, and I was intrigued. It's a logical question when you have a brand new president. This is my ninth year. So when I came here in 2007, you know, the question was, what do you want to do and see happen with the university? And I wasn't trying to be difficult, but I wanted people to understand that one of the reasons that I was honored and privileged to serve as president here is I thought the university had done pretty darn well. And for the newest member of the university community to come in and tell a whole bunch of people that we ought to be doing this, this, and this, and not this, this, and this, seemed to me to be a little bit presumptuous. I just don't believe I'm that smart, okay? And so in that sense, I think it would be helpful. And certainly at some point there will be a next president, whenever that might be. I think it might be helpful to her or to him in guiding them and letting them at least see what the thinking has been, not that it couldn't be further modified. With respect to the medical school, I think that seed has been here for a long, long time. I had the privilege of being able to act on it, and you know, donations help, and huge donations really help. And in another direction, the affiliation with the Western Michigan University Cooley Law School, that seed was really planted in 1972. When there was an effort here on this campus to have a law school. So, you know, it's out there. Sometimes it takes longer and to think through. And you look for new opportunities and relationships.
But part of a strategic plan, in other words, is perhaps a little more continuity when there are big changes in the administration, including at some point the future change in the president's
office.
Yeah,
right. I mean, all of us. I mean, we have succession plans in place right now. Any one of us as a person can be vulnerable at any given moment. And it's really not about the president. It's about the university and our students and our faculty and how we can continue to best serve them and make sure that they're not caught short in a time that something untoward happens.
Okay, I'm going to make sure I don't let this moment pass without asking, just in case it is on someone's mind, it's especially yours at this point. Is this in any way an indication that you have thought about when you would like to step down or retire from the Western Michigan University?
Yeah, obviously your question is thought about. I mean, look.
Everyone thinks about it.
But everybody thinks about that. And you probably think about it more in the really dark days than in the really good days. But nevertheless, I have a very good board of trustees and work hand in hand with them very, very well. And I'm certainly pleased, happy with my opportunities here at this university.
So you have not set a retirement date?
I have not set a retirement date.
You were recently honored with the Giving Back Award from Insight into Diversity. This was given to 27 college and university presidents for giving back to their campuses and communities. Congratulations.
Can you
tell me just first of all, what does that award mean to you?
Well, first of all, I was somewhat surprised that someone out there took it upon themselves to put together a nomination package and submit that. And then obviously to be selected is an honor. To me, the whole idea of giving back is just a basic fundamental message that we're trying always to encourage others. There's always another generation that's following us. There are others like us that a few dollars here or there can make a difference as to whether they're going to be able to sustain their education or not. I benefited from that personally as a young person, both in terms of resources, but also mentors. And so to be able to give back and to help and support others, to let them find their pathway as well, I enjoy telling students that, you know, my background, I did not come from a family of wealth. I came from a family, particularly a mother who was caring and believed in education, was a high school graduate herself, read well, read a lot, and worked hard. And, anytime I can give back, to me, it's in honoring others, including people like my mother. I think that's what they raised us to do. And it's enjoyable to give.
Among the things that were noted in the awarding of this to you were the establishment of the CETA Scholars Program, also the Office of Service Learning, and focusing on building a diverse and inclusive campus. I'm wondering, at a time when we're talking so much about inequality among wealth, we're also talking about trying to improve diversity. Is there a place for colleges and universities, I guess, to really be maybe at the forefront and at the cutting edge of those issues? And something like the CETA Scholars Program, for instance, is looking at a way to help people who otherwise, you know, might find themselves on the margins of society.
Absolutely. I think our responsibility in a university is always to be very thoughtful, to make sure that the equation includes everyone, that we are to always thoughtful about being reflective and responsive to the larger, in this situation, the state of Michigan, and that we represent better the diversity that we admire, that makes Michigan what it is, the great state it is. And this morning, I started off with a meeting with the Learning Network. And, you know, this is a great community where I think people really do understand here that we need to be thinking about everyone and creating opportunities for everyone, because we will advance as a people, as a society, as a community, when we are really working together to make sure that the door is always open for others and that we're there to support and to help. And we do that through innovative programs like the CETA Scholars Program, where we tell foster youth, you come here, we'll provide a home for you. We'll make sure you have food. We'll make sure that you have access to classes. And I'm very pleased. We'll soon have 100 of those students that have walked across the stage, degree in hand. When I think of the Kalamazoo Promise, I'm very fond of saying that I think our public schools are doing a really fine job working hard. I admire Dr. Rice and the work that he's doing and his staff and his faculty. But when they deliver, you know, to me, it's the Kalamazoo Promise delivered. But when that student walks across the stage, degree in hand, that's the Kalamazoo Promise fulfilled. And so we're really partners in making sure that those opportunities are available, and they should be available for everyone.
Western Michigan University President John Dunn, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed the conversation.
There's a longer version of the interview with Western President John Dunn on our website. He also addresses student concerns about vacancies on the faculty in the university's anthropology department. That can be found at wmuk.org.